The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, exploring the human endeavor.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
Hi, Patrick Cox here, and January 1st is Haiti's Independence Day. It was January 1st, 1804, when former slaves defeated Napoleon's army, making Haiti the world's very first independent black republic. So they kicked out the French more than 200 years ago, but they didn't kick out the French language. It still commands pride of place in the country. It's the language of Haiti's elites, who right now, as it happens, are engaged in a political power struggle. And French is also the language of instruction in Haiti's schools, which doesn't make a huge amount of sense because it's not the language that the vast majority of Haitian children speak at home. They speak Creole. For most of them, French is first introduced in the schoolroom. So what would happen if schools started teaching kids in Creole? Would they perform better? Amy Bracken has been taking a look at this. She went to a remote part of Haiti to a school that has already made the switch.
Frondi Calixte is an 11-year-old boy living in a small village on the poor, drought-prone island of La Gonâve, Haiti. Sitting outside his house with his mother and teacher, he tells me he wants to be a nurse when he grows up. But his mother corrects him. Doctor, she says. And he amends his answer. Here, almost everyone is a small farmer, and higher ed is virtually unheard of. But already, Calixte is bucking the trend by going to a different kind of school. The Matainois Community School, just down the rocky road from Calixte's house, is unusual in many ways. At the start of all-school assembly, students stand up and share what's good and bad, a lesson they enjoyed, or how they didn't like the behavior of other students, or even teachers. In class, students sit in a circle, following the school's philosophy that children should be seen, heard, and treated with respect. An essential part of this, staff say, is teaching in the students' native language, Creole. Calixte's mom, who calls herself Madame France Calixte, says when she was in school, she never really learned French, and yet all of her subjects were in French. So I ask, how did you succeed in school? And she laughs. I didn't really pass my exams, she says. But of her sons, she says, they're learning better than I did. Abner Sauveur, who grew up in the village of Matainois, was also taught entirely in French growing up, and also didn't understand it. The way they beat me in school, he tells me, I knew the system was bad. People can't learn like that. We had to memorize all these lessons in French and stand in front of everyone and recite them. Sauveur says teachers beat students out of frustration with a language barrier. Sauveur never finished high school, but in 1996, he and an American teacher co-founded the Matainois Community School to provide something new.
Education qui basée sur changement.
Education that allowed people to reflect and share their ideas, he says. Education that lets them learn better. In Creole, by necessity, Sauveur says. Only an estimated 5% of Haitians are fluent in French, and yet French is the language of government-funded textbooks. There's no longer a ban on Creole in most schools, but they do use French materials, with teachers having to explain in Creole. At Matainois, instruction and textbooks are in Creole through third grade, then French is introduced as a second language. Then textbooks for subjects like geography and history are in French, but that's because they aren't available in Creole. The administration raises money to buy Creole books, and students make their own. Many parents, though, still believe that French is the language of education. Its spelling and grammar are more established than Creole, and the belief is the earlier children are exposed to French, the better off they'll be, even if they don't understand at first. When the Matainois school started, Sauveur says, it was very difficult. There were parents who would withdraw their students from school because we were teaching in Creole. But he says those parents then returned their kids to Matainois. Today, political leaders from the outgoing prime minister on down are calling for more Creole education, and some are calling Matainois a model. Jeunesse Lagrandeur is superintendent for the more than 200 schools on La Gonâve Island. He says he was against Creole instruction at first.
Bien sûr. Parce que j'en étais formé nous-mêmes, non.
Of course, because of the way we were raised, then we came to better understand it. I was a skeptic, but now I am a diehard fan. Since Mate Noir came along, we have turned a page in history.
Mate Noir provides mother tongue training to educators around the country, but mostly to neighboring schools. La Grandeur claims that's why national exam scores on the island this year were the highest ever. Michel DeGraff, an MIT linguist from Haiti, develops learning tools in Creole and compares the impacts of Creole and French curricula. He says tests already show that the Mate Noir students' Creole reading skills are almost three times the average when compared to other schools tested in Haiti. He says he can tell French-based education isn't working by hearing people study.
It's this sing-along type of tone where often they break the sentence in the middle, you know, which means that they don't understand what they're studying.
Because they don't understand what they're studying, it becomes a sort of show learning, which DeGraff says has persisted because of Creole stigma.
When I was a kid, in fact, I was taught to despise my native language.
Actually, as a kid, he was told Creole wasn't a language at all, just broken French. Now, as a member of the new Creole Academy, DeGraff is tasked with promoting the language in all domains. But his main focus is education, including tools to help teach science in Creole and the translation of 21 math computer games into Creole, like this one, which he's playing with his son.
You see, it says 6 in the 100 position, 6, and then you have to look for which one has the 6. Ah, you see, so then you kill the parrot, you see. Okay.
So,
yeah, you made a mistake. So if
I did that on purpose
to
see what was.
You didn't on purpose.
It's Friday, and educators are gathered at Mate Noir for mother tongue training. They get pointers and books, and they discuss how they'll go back and train more people themselves. In the beginning, it was just us who were teaching in Creole, the school's co-founder, Abner Sauver, says. But there are 10 schools who come here for training every month. When I look at that experience, I believe that after 15, 20, 30 years, I might be dead already, but it's possible that the system will completely change in Haiti, he says. But now I'm confused, because at the training, Sauver distributes manuals that seem to have nothing to do with how to teach in Creole. They're about stopping corporal punishment, communicating productively with students, and protecting kids from sexual abuse. I wonder, is Mate Noir a model because of Creole or because of this attention to the rights of the child? Almost everything about Mate Noir is different. It's so student-focused and interactive and fun. I asked teachers, wouldn't the school be influential even if all the classes were in French? And they tell me, this could never happen in French. For the world, I'm Amy Bracken, Mate Noir, Haiti.
Okay, we're going to hear a little more now from the other co-founder of the Mate Noir School and Learning Center. Her name is Chris Lowe. She's American. And it was she, along with Abner Sauver, who we heard in the piece, who nearly two decades ago started this whole project. Here she is talking with Amy about how she and her staff train teachers in Creole instruction. It starts with the basics, writing.
We teach the teachers how to print and a system for teaching their students how to print because they haven't learned that before. We teach the teachers how to write a story because really, when they say, oh, no, we used to write a lot in school, what they mean is we used to copy what's on the board, right, in cursive, in French. But once they get to a certain level of dialogue in these trainings, realizing it's not just about note-taking and it's actually about their own feelings, we see them change. We see that they start to admit, which they never would have before, that, well, actually, I don't speak French. Actually, I don't even understand everything that's in that textbook that I'm teaching from. So as they turn and realize, we do, for example, very early on a piece by Gandhi that they read this piece where Gandhi is describing how he's moved to a different school in a different language, and now he's seeing that it takes him 4 years to learn something he would have learned in one, in his own language. So with these kind of readings, and reading Yves Desjans, who is a very famous Haitian linguist, we read some excerpts from his book, which is called An Upside-Down School in an Upside-Down Country. In that book, they start to get their own human rights feelings going. They start to really say, like, wait a minute, you know, I'm doing a disservice to these kids. I want my kids to actually understand and learn something, and for it not to take 4 years when it should only take one.
Okay, so it's upside down in that it's more student-led?
He is discussing how if you take a 7-year-old child in the mountains of Haiti and you take a 7-year-old child in the mountains of the Dominican Republic, and they both say, I know how to read, he says, the one in the Dominican Republic can read and understand what he's reading, where the one in Haiti can sound out the words, but he doesn't know what he's saying. So that's what he means by upside down.
So what he's advocating is an upside down, like an inverted version.
Right, so he's advocating that you must learn in the language, your mother tongue, that the problem of why Haiti is the way it is versus why the Dominican has progressed more on the same piece of land is because we're not really educating our Haitian children. They're memorizing a language they don't understand.
Chris Lowe speaking with Amy Bracken. And we have photos of teachers and students at the Matenwa School. That's at pri.org/language. You can get to the same place via the World in Words Facebook page. And this is the last podcast of the year. Thanks very much for listening. Please pass the word on to your friends and family, especially now that a certain episodic true crime podcast has run its course. I love it, actually. I'm totally addicted to that. And podcasts are clearly upping their game these days. But there is also room, I hope you'll agree, for this kind of podcast that doesn't exactly leave you hanging at the end of each episode for the next one. But it has its charms, I hope. So please, put out the word, and thank you. I put out the word via Facebook, the World in Words page, and also Twitter. My Twitter handle is PatriCox, PatriCox. Be sure to check out the other podcasts in the Soundworks Network, and I'll be back in early January. Happy holidays.
The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, Exploring the Human Endeavor. The World in Words is also supported in part by PRI's New Voices Fund, bringing new perspectives and personalities to public media. Donors to the fund include Maureen and Michael Rutgers and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.